Hey everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and we've got a lot to cover today, so buckle up.
Absolutely, Jack. Today's agenda is packed. We're diving into the latest in AI advancements, some groundbreaking Web 3.0 projects, and of course, we can't ignore the tech industry's crossover with recent political events.
Oh, and I heard you've got some hot takes today, C-O-R-R.
You know me, Jack. Always ready to stir the pot, especially with today's topics. But first, let's give our loyal listeners a huge thank you for tuning in again. You guys are the best.
Yes, a massive thank you. Your support keeps us motivated. So what do you say we jump right into it? Cor, what's on the top of our list?
Let's kick things off with OpenAI's latest project. They've just announced a new series of neural networks that are supposed to be game changers. Jack, I know you're itching to discuss this one.
Big time. Cor. This new development could redefine what we think AI is capable of. It's getting to a point where we might start seeing AI making real-time decisions in ways we've only dreamed about.
Well, as much as I'd like to dive straight into the nerdy details, remember what happened last time we went too deep down the rabbit hole?
Fair point. C-O-R-R. Our listeners had to hit pause and grab a dictionary. But don't worry, folks. We'll keep it accessible today.
And for those of you who want to get technical, we have some extra resources linked in the show notes. So stay with us.
All right, let's get to it. We've got OpenAI, the implications for business and ethics in AI, and how this all ties into the Web 3.0 evolution. Plus, we've got some spicy debates on the latest tech regulations.
Especially the ones coming out of Europe. Jack, I swear those EU regulations keep AI developers up at night.
Chuckles. I think they might keep everyone up, Cor. So hold on to your hats, everyone. This episode is going to be a wild ride.
And if we run long, well, you can always pick us back up on your next coffee break.
So let's get started. So, Cor, let's pick up where we left off. We're here tinkering with tools like AI and blockchain, and on the surface, it seems like we're charting the course to a shiny new future, right? But every new tech wave comes with that big flashing question mark. What's the real cost behind it all?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. I mean, look at surveillance technology, for instance. It's creepy how these systems can follow our every move. And then you've got algorithms that pigeonhole people into biased categories. Sometimes it's not innovation, it's dystopia disguised as progress.
And it's not just theoretical. Think about North Korean hackers targeting crypto exchanges, like that massive $1.4 billion hack of Bybit. It's not some sci-fi plot, this is here and now. The dark side of tech is becoming all too real.
Exactly. And these hackers aren't just after crypto for fun. They're funding something much bigger and more sinister. The world runs on data and money now. And if these guys keep pulling off these heists, it destabilizes whole financial ecosystems. It's a huge, unsafe game we're playing.
And let's not forget, we're pushing these tech boundaries while asking, what's useful? The irony here is the debate on quantum computing at NVIDIA's Quantum Day. I mean, when a CEO says we might be more than a decade away from quantum computers being actually useful, you wonder if we're chasing ghosts.
That whole NVIDIA conversation was wild. It's almost like the tech community can't decide if quantum computing is the holy grail or just a really expensive science project. Meanwhile, AI integration is moving forward, error corrections, calibrations, and whatnot. Who knows when it truly clicks into place?
But isn't that the point? We're blindly hurling ourselves into the future without really knowing if it's going to be better. Look at how much AI can do. Sure, it can help in areas like healthcare, logistics, but then it's also powering intrusive surveillance and biased decision-making algorithms. What's the balance here?
And it's a tough balance to find. Companies like NVIDIA are making strides, but with each leap comes this nagging ethical dilemma. Are we building tools for progress or weapons of control?
Exactly. It's that classic debate. Take blockchain, it's supposed to democratize financial systems, give power back to the people. Yet, in the wrong hands, it's just another tool for mega thefts and shady deals. Like those North Korean hackers, they're using something designed to empower individuals to instead drain accounts and finance illicit activities.
And this isn't just about external threats. Even within tech companies, engineers are often forced to work on projects that don't sit right with them ethically. How many tales have we heard of developers having to engage with projects that make them question their morals? That armor gets heavy after a while.
Too true. And how much power do employees truly have to say no? Especially when their livelihood depends on it. It's like be part of the change or get left behind. Except sometimes that change isn't exactly bringing the world to a brighter place.
Speaking of a bright place, or maybe lack thereof, the AI-generated art that's been blowing up. Sure, it's cool to see the likes of OmniGen make things like unlikely images of Josh Quitner and Vitalik Buterin chilling together. But what about the artists who poured years into perfecting their craft? They're seeing their work automated, rendered obsolete by code.
Or take the regulation battles. AI and blockchain tech need guiding rules, but the SEC's recent moves showed just how chaotic the landscape is. First, they hit crypto hard with regulations, declaring some tokens as unregistered securities, but then they had to backpedal, especially with President Trump's administration easing off crypto regulation.
Yeah, Trump's approach is as controversial as it gets. On one hand, clearer, more favorable rules can boost innovation. But on the other, it could lead to a Wild West scenario where anything goes. It's a risky balance, especially with shady characters like those North Korean hackers ready to exploit any loophole.
It's not all gloom and doom, though. There's a lot of good coming from this tech. Quantum computing, once it kicks in, could revolutionize fields like chemistry and material science. Imagine discovering new drugs or materials in a fraction of the time it takes now. That's the dream, right?
For sure. But until we get there, we need to tread carefully. We can't let the push for progress blind us to the ethical implications. If we're not careful, we risk building a future that no one really wants to live in.
And there you have it, folks. The tech world is a double-edged sword. As we keep pushing forward, it's crucial that we don't lose sight of the cost and repercussions. The ethical dilemma is as much a part of the journey as the tech itself. All right, Core, let's dive into this fascinating realm of aircraft communications. You know, it's pretty wild that planes are basically like flying radio stations, constantly sending and receiving various signals. I mean, voice comms with air traffic control we get? That's old news. But let's talk about this ACARS thing from the 70s, still being used today.
Absolutely, Jack. It's astounding when you think about it. ACARS, which stands for Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, is a backbone for communication between aircraft and ground stations. And despite being around since the disco era, it's still holding up. In fact, it's critical. It sends messages like gate info, weather updates, and even maintenance issues back to the airline.
So essentially, it's like texting for planes, right? But those messages aren't always as interesting as, say, decoding a sneaky WhatsApp. We're talking about updates like, hey, our coffee maker is on the fritz again.
Exactly. It's usually pretty mundane, but essential for smooth operations. Though I suppose sending a message about a drunk passenger causing a scene can spice things up once in a while.
Yeah, drama at 30,000 feet. Now, being the aviation nerd that you are, you had a stint with the gear staying quiet here on the ground while planes buzz overhead. How did you get started with that?
Well, Jack, it started as a hobby mixed with a passion for aviation. Remember, I was once on the path to becoming a commercial pilot before I got booted from flight school for being too quiet. Long story short, I pulled together some affordable radio equipment, some open source software, and voila. I started picking up ACARS transmissions from planes passing by.
That's incredible. So you're there playing detective with these signals, often catching just one side of the conversation. What's the trick to getting anything juicy from these semi-coded messages?
Good question. Because I live nowhere near an airport or ground station, I mostly pick up the messages going from the plane to the ground. Decoding that, especially with the stuff I cooked up, means you occasionally see the pilot's hands in the dough, so to speak. You get their free text messages, which could be anything from GPS coordinates to sometimes more colorful updates about the state of the flight or passengers.
Almost like opening someone else's mail, but with far less guilt, right? You mentioned software that sifts through the sheer volume of these messages, looking for the interesting bits. How do you decide what counts as interesting?
It's all about the keywords, Jack. The bot I developed scans for particular phrases or contexts, things that suggest a human typed it rather than a machine. stuff that's manually punched in rather than automated drivel about the weather or altitude.
And then there's the fun stuff, right? Like those occasional rare moments when pilots let loose a bit of personality. Any snarky gems caught through your setup?
Oh, for sure. It's mostly lighthearted banter or slight moans about cabin problems. And when a pilot has a bad day, it can really show. You might get a message like, another coffee machine hiccup, great start to the day. It's all rather humanizing.
Wow, it must be like reading the tweets of the sky, unfiltered. How do you navigate the ethics of this? Isn't there a thin line when it comes to airing what are essentially private conversations?
Good point. It's something I consider heavily. The key is to anonymize sensitive data. I never share identifying information that could breach privacy or confidential airline details. The focus is on the quirky and fun stuff that's safe to share and can give people a glimpse into the aviator's world without stepping on toes.
Right. And looking forward, do you see this tech evolving? Or rather, how soon until ACARS gets a modern facelift like everything else?
The industry is looking at more secure, efficient means of communication, considering how outdated the protocol is. But as long as planes are up there flying, these radio waves will keep bouncing around, waiting for us ground dwellers to decode them. It's a fascinating dance between the old tech and new innovations.
That's the crux of it, isn't it? Old tech surviving the test of time, flying high, literally. Your insights into this balancing act between tradition and tech are always golden core. Let's see what the future and our skies hold next.
Indeed, Jack. It's a sky full of not just clouds, but also conversations. Now, about those AI-driven advances in cloud infrastructure we touched on earlier, what's your take on that whole next-gen thing?
Oh, don't get me started. The strides being made there are amazing. Let's dive into that. So, Core, talking about MIG and how it's a pseudo-C IDL combined with a compiler that helps create these interfaces, it feels a bit like we're diving into the engine room of a spaceship. It's all technical, but that's where the magic happens, right?
Absolutely, Jack. And for those who might feel a tad lost, think of MIG like a translator between two people who don't speak the same language. The compiler takes instructions that are written in a standardized way and turns them into actionable code that both sides can understand easily. It's like having a universal translator for these messages, making communication straightforward and safe.
Right, and that's crucial when you consider the type of communication happening here, particularly when involving keychain items on macOS. These are sensitive, and if anything goes wrong, well, you've got hackers totally busting into your personal vault.
Exactly. And it's interesting that even unprivileged processes can query for metadata about keychain items. Imagine that, just having access to who created the key or when it was last used, even if they can't see the actual password. It's those details that can sometimes be the weak link in security.
True. In talking about weak links, let's not forget the Munich Re and Next insurance deal. $2.6 billion. It seems like the insurance industry is seriously taking a leap into digital. What's your take on that, CORR?
Jack, the insurance sector has always been about managing risk, but now it's about anticipating and responding to rapid changes. Digital insurance companies like Next Insurance can adapt quickly, handle data more efficiently, and offer tailored services. Munich Re's acquisition shows a clear recognition of this shift. It's a strategic move to stay ahead in an evolving market.
It's like they're adding a turbocharger to an old but reliable engine. Now, switching gears a bit, what's up with Siri not being able to answer simple questions recently? That's a bit of a letdown for a product that's been around for over a decade.
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher, isn't it? Especially when we're at an age where AI is supposed to be smarter than ever. Siri's struggles highlight a critical challenge for AI assistance, context, and personalization. Apple's delay in rolling out a more personalized Siri might be necessary to get it right, but it sure leaves users hanging in the meantime.
No doubt. And speaking of leaving users hanging, let's talk about Uniswap and the SEC. The fact that the SEC dropped its appeal, that's huge. It's like they were trying to fit a square peg into a round hole by applying traditional securities laws to DeFi.
Exactly, Jack. The decentralized finance world operates under different principles. The judge's decision to call the SEC's definitions unlawful underscores the growing need for regulatory clarity that fits the unique nature of DeFi. It's a victory for innovation and a clear message that regulators can't just cut and paste old rules onto new systems without due consideration.
And not to mention the implications for the broader crypto ecosystem. Uniswap's protocol revenue hitting over $4.4 billion. That's no small change. It shows that DeFi's here to stay, and regulations need to evolve to reflect these new realities.
Right, and this dovetails perfectly into the end of the SEC's investigation into OpenSea. The complaints that were dropped, it's like the Wild West of enforcement is slowly being reined in, and maybe, just maybe, we're seeing the start of more thoughtful regulation that doesn't stifle innovation.
Let's hope so. Because the tech is sprinting ahead, and regulatory bodies need to keep pace without throwing a spanner into the works. Core, it's been an insightful chat as always. Just one last thought. All these conversations about bridging gaps and trying to ensure seamless integration get me thinking about bridges and tunnels. They aren't visible, but are integral for smooth travel, much like these background tech processes for our digital world.
That's a great analogy, Jack. Just like those bridges and tunnels, these tech intricacies might be out of sight for most, but they're absolutely essential for our secure and efficient digital lives. Here's hoping the regulators build the right kind of infrastructure to support it.
Fingers crossed. All right, let's keep this momentum going. What's next on our agenda, Core? So, Core, let's pick up on our discussion about solar and storage. We're diving into some really interesting territory when it comes to the costs of overbuilding. Essentially, if the prices of solar panels and storage keep dropping, the concern of overbuilding just evaporates. You know, like how I'm never worried about running out of hard drive space because it's so cheap now.
Yeah, Jack, that's a solid analogy. When we think about the levelized cost of electricity, LCOE for solar, it's like calculating the total cost of a power system and dividing it by the electricity it produces over its lifetime. It's kind of crazy how even with overbuilding, we can stay competitive cost-wise because the prices are falling so fast.
Exactly. And it's not just about the panels themselves. We're talking about the entire system, including batteries for storage. As these components get cheaper and more efficient, the justification for overbuilding becomes economically sound. It's like investing in future-proofing without the hefty price tag.
Speaking of future-proofing, SoftBank's move to acquire Ampere for $6.5 billion is big news. I mean, $6.5 billion in cash. That's no joke. Once this deal closes in 2025, it's going to shake things up, especially with Ampere's tech in the mix. They're already shaking things up in Santa Clara.
SoftBank sure knows how to pick its battles. And it's not just them making moves. Did you catch the IPO announcements? Core Arrowweave is looking to price their shares between $47 and $55, pulling in between $2.2 billion and $2.6 billion. But let's be honest, we know these ranges are part strategy, part speculation.
Oh, totally. It's all about building that hype, making retail investors believe there's a mad rush for those shares. It's like when you see a line outside a new restaurant, suddenly it looks a lot more desirable.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of hyped up innovations, this whole agentic automation push is fascinating. UiPath is really paving the way for automated agents across various industries from banking to healthcare. Imagine a bot handling your paperwork, never taking sick days, always operating at peak efficiency.
Talk about a game changer. Automation is going to revolutionize how companies operate, streamlining everything from sales prep to document processing. Like WEX is demonstrating, automations can transform business processes, which reminds me of how pivotal government's roles are too. The U.S. is stalling climate finance to South Africa, delaying billions. It's these kinds of financing decisions that impact global renewable energy projects.
That's frustrating, right? We need these investments to push green energy projects forward. It feels like an unnecessary hurdle. Meanwhile, reports of the public's growing interest in new subjects like the hit show Severance keep popping up.
Severance. Nice one. People can't get enough. Season 2 wrapping up left fans glued to their screens. Imagine if we had similar attention on clean energy innovations. Speaking of tech, did you hear Citigroup's comment on European companies considering listing stateside because the U.S. is becoming a more attractive market?
Makes sense giving the mad dash to List here. If you're smaller, Europe might still be the play, but if you can swing it, the US market is calling. And on the topic of technology, it's impossible to ignore the underpinnings. Magnets, man. They're the unsung heroes in our tech. Everything relies on them, from your phone to your microwave.
Absolutely. Without magnets, we'd be in a world of hurt with our gadgets, just like we'd be hamstrung in the crypto world if regulatory transparency doesn't improve. Kraken's move to become an institutional-grade trading platform shows how they're really looking to diversify their asset bases beyond digital coins.
It's exciting times with Kraken, pushing the boundaries beyond just digital assets to equities and other traditional markets. They've hit a few bumps with compliance issues, but the forward momentum is impressive.
Couldn't agree more. And Ripple's making its mark in the payment space too. Their tech ensures swift, secure transactions without the hiccups of forks in the blockchain.
Innovations like these could redefine our digital and financial landscapes. If only every player understood the gravity of these advancements. We're on the cusp of something big with Solar too. If LCOE continues to drop, Solar could soon be the MVP of our energy game.
Now that's a futures market I'm ready to invest in. Solar power for the win.
Well, that brings us to the end of another riveting episode of AI Unchained. Today, we delve deep into the latest advancements in AI, touched on some significant business moves, and couldn't resist addressing a few controversial political trends.
Absolutely, Jack. We covered a lot of ground, from discussing the unprecedented stride of GPT-4 to analyzing the shakeup in tech stocks, and, of course, our little debate on privacy versus security in the digital age. Can't forget that one.
Oh, that was a good one, Cor. Your points on the importance of ethical AI development were especially thought-provoking. I know our listeners appreciate the diverse perspectives we bring to the table.
Thanks, Jack. Likewise, your insights on the impact of AI on job markets were eye-opening. It's always fun to challenge each other's views, and I think our banter kept it lively and hopefully educational.
Big thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. We do this for you, and your support means the world to us. If you enjoyed our discussions, or even if you didn't, hit that subscribe button and leave a review. We want to hear from you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And don't forget to follow us on social media for the latest updates and behind-the-scenes moments. We love connecting with our audience and getting your thoughts on the topics we explore.
What's next on the agenda? More debates, more insights, and a sprinkle of humor to keep things interesting. Stay curious, stay informed, and always stay tuned to AI Unchained.
So until next time, everyone, thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights. See you all on the next episode.
See you next time, folks. Take care.
Cheers.